you are joining the Closeted Chaos podcast of Kind Mind Wellness with Nicole Bolden. Conversations about mental health, holistic wellness, intentional living, peace in the midst of chaos, the chaos itself, and all the things in between. I'm thrilled you've tuned in. So settle in, get grounded, take a deep breath, reset your mind, and let's chat. So hi, I'm here with my friend Corey, who owns a local yoga studio, and I'm so excited for this episode because we're going to be talking all things yoga, and we love it, and also that yoga is for everybody. So I know there's a lot of times that we go into a studio and we don't think we belong, and that is just couldn't be further from the truth. So this is Corey. I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, hello. My name is Corey Bailey Fernandez. Maybe we just want to share a little bit about how I personally found yoga. In 2013, my dad passed away, and I don't know that I had ever known how to process emotions healthfully. And at the time I was dating someone who had a really heavy yoga practice. And so he invited me to yoga. And, you know, again, at the time there was so much resistance in that, you know, I worked all the time. I was really, really loaded with stress and, you know, running a business and working all the time. So, but in my healing journey and healing, the grief of my dad's death, I walked into a yoga studio. I said yes to him once and then many more times after that. And that day we were working on, the hips. So it was a very hip opening class. And, you know, we hold a lot of emotions in the hips, and it was the very first time in my life that I was able to cry, that I was able to feel safe in my emotions. It was, you know, and I cried almost the entire class, and, no one pitied me. No one came up and hugged me. They just like let me be in that state. And I think that that was exactly what I was needing in my process. I didn't want anyone to feel bad for me, which is, I think, why I held in so many of the tears and so much of the emotions. But there, it was just like this safe place to just be wherever you were on your journey. And so I became obsessed after that. It was a whole thing. I was had memberships at different yoga studios, and I was going to like 14 to 16 classes a week. And and then finally I became a yoga instructor. So yeah.
I love that. 'Cause it's so true too. Like, we just get so stuck in our head. And then we hold everything in our body.
Yeah.
And then our minds go. Mm-hmm. And then yoga kind of like slows you down. And there are so many different styles. It's like something for everybody, and where you're at kind of meets you where you're at. And so many different studios offer so many different things that will help you for wherever that you're at.
Yeah.
So I know for me, I just needed to like slow down. Like, I did yoga once. And I think I was like a teenager. It was at the gym, and they were doing like inversions, and I'm like, what is going on? Where am I? And then I was like, this isn't for me.
Because that was probably way too intense for your first experience anyways.
Oh, for sure. And I would just, my mind space was just like, oh, I thought this was just going to be like a workout, and then you go and mm-hmm. just... The room was dark, and then I started taking spin, and the instructor really loved yoga, and so I was like, maybe I'll give it another chance. So that's where I found like my local studio, and it was hot power, like quick pace power, because everyone has their own definitions of power. I've learned in the yoga world, and sometimes power is just like holding those poses forever, and then sometimes it's just at like a quick speed where you're just kind of feel like you're flopping around, which I like both for different reasons. But then I just started really like challenging myself. And I remember a couple times I threw out my back, because I didn't really understand like keeping the core engaged. Even though I still worked out, I just wasn't clicking. And I was more like, I love Pilates, so it was more like reformer Pilates coming into that. And then I kind of took a break, and then I would just go kind of here and there. Sometimes I would double dip, you know, just to actually kill myself after spin. Then I'd go to hot power yoga and then just feel like, oh, I just feel so good and so much better. But really, I was just holding all these emotions in. And then I always wanted to like learn more about it. And so that's how I got into YTT. And actually what's funny is one of the books that was required, I had for like 14 years in my bookshelf.
Was it Yoga Anatomy?
Yeah. I bought it at Costco like a million years ago.
Yeah.
And then I had opened it and then I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. You know, like, how do you even put this together? Like, it wasn't what I thought. But I was like, oh, cool, I don't have to buy a book. Yeah. But then it kind of just, like, all came full circle. And then I started branching out to, like, different studios and taking yoga and then different types of yoga because I wanted to know. So I always wanted to do aerial yoga, so I did that. And I did
you like, enjoy that? That was too painful for me.
Okay. So the first time we went, it was my oldest daughter and we went to like a restorative and I did kind of like that, but I had like vertigo and I could not figure out why. And I thought I had just held the inversion too long. Mm-hmm. And, cause I knew I didn't get up too fast from it, being in there. And then the next time, I did it with my other daughter, and then I did more of like a regular class, but I didn't do the inversions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my daughter, who gets car sick, was like, oh, I feel super car sick, that I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the inversion, but the fact that I'm constantly in this swaying motion.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, I liked it, but it wasn't necessarily like for me on the regular basis.
Okay.
And then I did Hatha. And I was like, and I did infrared hot hatha, which like was nowhere near hot, like the, some of the local studios I've been to. Like, I was just like, this isn't hot. This is like, this isn't even feels like what it is after they air out the room where I usually go. Like, this is just normal. Like, I like it. But then I was like, oh my gosh, holding these poses. This is, I don't know, but I liked it, but it was challenging on a whole different level. Like, I'm like, you know, that good muscle shake. And then I started doing yin a lot, and that was challenging because of the sensations that you feel, like that discomfort, and then you hold it for so long, but then like quieting the mind space.
Yin is like a true yin practice. It's definitely something that's like a mind over matter, right?
Yeah.
Because in almost all of the poses, there is quite a bit of discomfort. And to be able to just find acceptance in that, I feel like is the whole beautiful point of yin yoga. I love yin.
Yeah. And it feels so good after, like when you move and you feel that blood, like just start flowing and the tingling. And like, I started focusing on like my breath in a different manner to calm my brain. Cause like the first instinct is like, I don't like this. I feel uncomfortable. Like I want to like have the wiggles or whatever. Like, oh, I need to like readjust, but just staying in that like stagnant hold makes you have to figure out like, okay, why is my brain like, let's just take a step back. Let's observe and let's breathe around the discomfort and let's see where we can sink in more to relax. Cause a lot of times you're holding that tension and then that just creates like even more discomfort in other areas that you're not even in.
Isn't that a perfect metaphor for life though?
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
The more resistance we give to the pressure or discomfort in life, the more it pushes back, the more it becomes evident, the more it becomes in front of your face, right?
Yeah.
The more we lean into the actual process and the flow and surrender to it, the more ease we find. right?
That's so true. Yeah.
So,
because our first instinct is to always run from discomfort or pain or whatever it is, physically or emotionally. Mm-hmm. I think that's why, like, now looking back, like the power yoga I could do, even if I'm like floundering through it mm-hmm. or whatever, because you're just like, you get that breath to movement and you're just like, boom, boom, boom. You don't even have time to like think, push, it's hot. So you're just mm-hmm. trying to get through it. Whereas like when you have to do like these slower, like even Hatha or Yin, you're just like, oh my, now I not only have to do all these things, but I have to like figure out how I'm going to deal with my mental self as mm-hmm. well. And so I love it. It came in at like the perfect season of life. And I used to do restorative with my daughter. We did like some restorative workshops. So those were nice and they were like up her alley. Mm-hmm. I personally just love the yin more and I feel like it helps me even in my other workouts and even like the vinyasa. So that's kind of where my yoga. And then if you know me, you know, like if I like something, I have to know everything about it. And not just that, if I'm going to be involved in some sort of leadership role or teacher, like I have to be certified in everything. So if you've ever been to my website, you'll see like the laundry list of like certifications because
you're an overachiever and that's okay. I do love that about you.
Yeah, it's just, it's not. Well, I just always want to feel like, not necessarily that I know, but if I'm going to lead someone, like I don't want to lead them down the wrong path or like, especially physically, like to injure themselves or like, I think it's easy just to slap a label on something, you know, like I think I've posted on social media about like yin and restorative. They're like uniquely different, but sometimes they're commingled as one, you know, so, or anything really, that's kind of like also in life, right? Like we're like, oh, well, this is qi, but it's really not, or this is qigong and mm-hmm. you know, it's something different and you don't have to like, you can integrate all these things or whatever. But if somebody's paying you, I feel like they're expecting if they know to do it. And if they go somewhere to a different studio and they've done it a different way, then, you know, maybe they don't like it. So I don't think it needs to be perfect, but it's like, I want to know so then I can explain the differences. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have the answer, because I don't always have the answers, I usually just research because I'm also a researcher.
Oh, it's perfect though. I love your need for inquiry and learning and knowledge. I think it's a beautiful trait.
I mean, I think if you're going to do it, it's not always accessible. So it has, doors have been open. So I feel like, you know, where much is given, much is expected. And yeah. So I should stand for what I actually stand for and not just talk about it.
Yeah, I agree.
But also I want to talk about too, about just like that encouragement for people that come in through that yoga studio door. Like also not every studio is going to be for everybody. So just putting that caveat out there, like don't turn away from yoga because you've walked into a studio that maybe just you're not going to mesh well with, because I've done that too.
Yeah. Earlier, Nicole and I were talking about the difference between like a fitness studio that does yoga or holds a lot of yoga classes and then an actual yoga studio. And I think the main differences, and maybe you identify with one more than the other. The thing about yoga is that it's a lifestyle. It's not a religion. But it is a lifestyle, and there's a lot that goes into yoga more than the physical practice of yoga. So when you walk into like a fitness studio, which is fine, but they're probably going to be working on making your physical body fit.
Yeah.
As opposed to a yoga studio that I feel like is so much more inclusive and so much more gentle with you and where you're at, whether that's physically or mentally or emotionally. And I feel like it's a lot more welcoming because the act and practice of yoga is more than, again, the physical asana, the physical poses and postures. It definitely goes into like the mental health aspect of it. I know for me, that was a big draw for me. Because in everything where we're moving the body, you know, there's this somatic experience in it. And because we hold different emotions in the body, we hold different traumas and triggers in the body. And so when we're able to not only move the body, but also honor the body when it's being moved, those emotions and those triggers and those traumas can also help leave your body with movement. And for yoga, that's exactly what it was for me.
And I think everyone needs to be in a safe and judge-free zone, whatever that looks like for them, in order for that to happen too.
Yeah.
Because I really do feel like maybe sometimes like people hurt themselves doing physical activity because they're not in that. Like yoga is something where if you're doing a lot of hip openers, emotions could come up, or heart openers, different emotions are coming up through that. And if you go to shut that off because you're not in a safe space, like your hips, you might, you know, your lower back may hurt or something, or you may not feel like as relaxed maybe as you need to be. And then if you go and you move and you're holding your breath and you're not getting into how your body wants to get in that pose, and then you jump to the next, that also can cause that physical injury too. Mm-hmm. So I think it just is like, you know, when you know. And I think also it's important to drive the point home to like try different things. Like even if you feel like, oh, this isn't something that I want to, not that you don't want to do, but like maybe I don't fit in, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe I'm not there. If you just go and try it, because if you have that desire, I think that you should just try it. If it's like a healthy thing, especially like with yoga, different styles or whatever. Like if you're used to hot power yoga, you might want to try like a restorative or a yin and slow down and see. Like I think we get so stuck, and we're talking about this earlier too, in the physical body. And like what these different workouts do for the physical body, that we're working from the outside in. And like, what if we just normalize working from the inside out and just allowing that to happen? Like we know that lifting weights is good for some people, and maybe not everyone has that accessibility in those moments, or going for a walk is good. But what we're normalizing, like in social media and even just in any sort of fitness arena, is that you have to look a certain way, be a certain size, eat a certain way, depending on like who you're around, you know, whatever diet that person or leader is like peddling. And it's all about like the fat loss, the size, the scale, like all these things that really do not even... people are still struggling. Like all these people that we see on social media and stuff that like have this body that is like a yoga body or Pilates body, that is gives no presentation of what is actually going on.
Yeah. I mean, I am a yoga instructor. I own a yoga studio, and I'm an obese person, right? Because it's not, I mean, for me, yoga isn't about what your body looks like at all in any way, shape, or form. And it shouldn't be. It should literally never be. It should be how it makes you feel. And because when you're in a yoga practice, how your body shows up for you day to day could be completely different, right? For me, I mean, I know that a lot of like normal sized people or larger people are attracted to yoga, but are afraid to necessarily join. They're afraid to explore that side out of you know, potential shame or embarrassment of what your body can or can't do. And I'm just here to tell you that it's not that way. I mean, especially if you find a studio that is really in alignment with who you are, you know, every body is different, anatomically, skeletally. You know, there are things that I can do that, you know, some small, petite, typical yoga body couldn't potentially. You know, because we're all literally made different. If there's something that I can't do because my belly is in the way, okay, I just widen my stance by an inch or two and make room for my belly. Or, you know, move any of the fleshier parts out of the way. It's so easy. It's easy. It takes a second. No one's watching you. No one's there to judge you. I mean, yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, if they are, it's just a reflection on what's going on inside of them.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I love that you said that because that's true. And the bodies are different. So sometimes you're not ever going to hit a pose without props because your arms are just short or your legs are just short. You're never going to hit that bind because you're just not going to. And it has nothing to do with a fitness level or a practice level. Also, sometimes you're going to hit a pose and then 2 days later, you're not going to be able to hit it because it's not just every body is different. Every day and every practice, it's different. And that's why it's a practice. And it's more of, I think it's like more of a mental practice
it is.
Than about the asanas. And I think the breath work too is something that you can take out of class. Like what can you take? If I teach a class, I want to know what are you going to take out of my class that's going to benefit you through the day? Not just did you have a really great workout and you feel good, but what about like when the adrenaline subsides and you know, your day goes and you're stressed out at work or, you know, your family life or whatever is coming up. Like, did you learn something that you could use? What about that breath work we started class with or ended class with? Or what got you through the mental hardness, that doesn't make sense, but
challenge.
The mental challenge, thank you, of that yin pose? Or what got you through that power yoga class and then got you into that beloved Shavasana pose? And with that said, too, I've been in power yoga classes and the most fittest people have had to take breaks and go into child's pose because that's just where they were at in that moment. If people are all worried about like who's doing what, your practice isn't your practice. Your practice is your neighbor's practice. And you're just robbing yourself of that by the comparison.
Yeah. True.
I know, all things yoga. I think it just gets hard because we are so bombarded with images and misinformation. And I did a post this morning on my personal page, like MIT just came out with a study that misinformation travels 6 times faster than the truth. And so we are bombarded on social media and all these outlets that we didn't used to have, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because we have access to things, but it also gives us the misinformation of like what fitness is. If somebody's judging you because you walk into the gym and, you know, they're not as fit, then that's really a reflection on them. But because we live in this society where we've, especially if you're a certain age, where like you should care about your outward appearance and what other people think of you, breaking that is obviously hard to do, but the only way you're going to do it is just to take a deep breath and that one step forward to do it.
Yeah. And again, a good studio and, you know, is a place where you feel safe. You feel safe in whatever is happening to you mentally. It's a place that you feel safe that of whatever is happening to you physically. It's your safe space to go be and be in your practice.
Yeah. So. Healthy is definitely not an appearance.
Yeah.
Healthy is on the inside. Yeah. Even if it's a biological health and we know mental health and it'll come out too, like where you're at, you know, if you're having problems being kind to others, or and you're come off as a nasty person, you're probably 100 times worse to yourself inwardly, and you're probably struggling a lot. So like when I see people like that, or when I deal with that, like of course there's that like knee-jerk reaction, but then I'm like, okay, now I need to take a step back and observe, like, this person struggles with depression and anxiety, and this is just their form. That's the only thing they're in control of, is that mirror image.
Yeah. And I find that wherever we're at in life and mentally is definitely going to show up in our physical practice as well. Like, I know for me, when I'm feeling unbalanced, or when I have some upheaval in my somehow wildly stressful life, I really struggle with balance poses. Finding my drishti, finding my still point, right?
Yeah.
And then even within that, you know, that finding your still point, okay, well, my mind's not still. And it shows in my practice. And I almost love that, because it's a reminder of what I really need to be focusing on, right? And it's not the physical practice.
I love that you said that. That's so true. Because it's like, even teaching, you know, sometimes I'll like do the examples, you know, or like dancers, right? And I know I can hit dance, like it's not a problem. Yeah. But all of a sudden, like, you know, single-legged mountain, I'm like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like watching you get it. And I'm like, okay, don't look at me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I'm already off to the side anyway. Set your drishti, listen to my voice, okay. Trust the cues. Like, trust me in that. But then I'm like, literally after class, I had to be like, okay, what is going on here? Like, where maybe do I need to reassess? Yeah,
maybe that was nerves, or maybe that was, you know, you're experiencing something that's not balanced in your life, or you know what I mean? There's something. There's something there. There always is.
I know. So. There's always something, and it's never what's presenting.
No.
Like, obviously, it's not hitting dancers or single-legged mountain. There's something more to it, like you said, for yourself, like that balance issue that you may be having, or being in a rush to get to the next thing and not being present. Or, I mean, there's just so many things, and for each person, it's just so different. And it is such a personal practice that when you give these other ideas away to somebody else, or the power of a studio, like, it's no longer a personal practice, you know?
Yeah.
And it is like a, like what we're talking about, like the messages too are like hard if you're first starting out, to kind of navigate through with different studios or whatever and their focal point. But I just say, like, just start somewhere. And then if you don't like it, you can leave. Exactly. You don't have to keep going there. You can try different studios.
If at any point anything's a hard no for you, try something else.
Yeah.
Until you find your tribe.
For sure. And I always encourage people to, like, trust yourselves and your instincts. And maybe that's why, because I always, like, second guess. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I need to reevaluate what I'm thinking. But I do feel like my intuition with people's energy is pretty spot on, and not just like my past insecurities or insecurities that I currently struggle with, because it's just being made clear more and more. Like, okay, I may feel like I'm not sure about this energy, but I'm open to like revisit it. Do that. Always be open, like to observe and be aware. And if it just feels yucky, just honor that yucky feeling and be like, okay, this just isn't for me. And we don't necessarily need to badmouth things.
Right.
Like, just because it's not for you, it could be perfect for somebody else where they're at in that moment.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And different studios offer different things too.
Yeah. So I think the whole point, like, yoga is literally for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, every body. Your body, trust me, is a yoga body, whether it is tall or short or wide or narrow, whether you have, you know, an old injury or, you know, any limitations, like, yoga is and can be for you. Yeah.
I mean, even in that ideal yoga body, I'm throwing up like air quotes or whatever of what we feel is the ideal or what is presented to us. Like everybody who's in a yoga class and gets those cues for refinement, those cues are going out, not because it's like standard cues for everyone to refine. It's because the teacher's scanning the room, and I would say most cases, and they're trying to refine what they see in everyone. Mm-hmm. Even in advanced classes. So you're not always going to hit it. Like even when I teach and I know people are, they've been doing yoga for a long time, you know, you're like, oh, wait, hold on, micro bend right there. And you just see their body completely shift. So everyone needs the reminders.
Yeah. I know there's a few people that I know that also get really offended at any kind of correction, right? Whether that's vocal or, you know, even a hands-on correction. And and I find it to be really interesting because really what your instructor is trying to do is make it comfortable in for your body, yeah. Right? Trying to provide a modification for you. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It means that your body is clearly uncomfortable. Please let me ease that for you.
Yeah.
Right. And by finding something that does work for your body, because again, anatomically, we're all so different. Mm-hmm. So again, it doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It just means that we're trying to find something that works better for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's also an important thing. I know that there's so many people out there that they're like, I'm doing it wrong, or get so irritated or maybe even embarrassed.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
I think it goes both ways, right? Like either people are like, heck yeah, with the hands on, mm-hmm. because people just crave non-sexual touch.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like that. I'm like, I don't even care. Like, yeah, you can readjust me. Like, I don't feel like this is awkward at all. Like, sometimes I feel like they've just cued to relax your shoulders 14 times. And, like, if they come
why
down.
Why are my shoulders up to my ears?
And I feel like my shoulders did. I rolled them back. They're in their pockets. They're good, right? But just someone coming and, like, just pressing, like, 3 fingers on my shoulders and allowing them to, like, melt down, I could be like, okay, they were talking to me. They weren't cueing that for every 14 other people in the room. It's because I wasn't doing that. And that helps, right? Yeah. It helps you get deeper into your practice if it's a certain pose. Another one I know for myself, too, that I noticed a huge difference. It's like we get so stuck in having it look what it should look like mm-hmm. that we don't even realize that maybe for our own body that that's not good. Mm-hmm. So like another cue that was refined was like downward dog, bending your knees. Mm-hmm. You know, like everyone gets so obsessed with like having their heel down, mm-hmm. but like their hips are all out of whack. You know, their whole, which throws that whole front body alignment off, yeah. But just so like that bend in your knee, like if you just bend, so if you actually practice yoga, micro bend your knee and with the intention to see where your hips go, you know, like maybe that puts you, your body in a better alignment where it needs to be. Which kind of, this is a good segue to something else we wanted to talk about is like props. Mm. And the demonization of props in certain classes, because we know in like a good restorative, you know, you want like all the props mm. and there's
two
no shame.
4 blocks, 6 blankets.
Yeah. No shame. You're like, give me all the props. Give me the straps, like everything. You walk into a vinyasa and you know that going from 3-legged dog is difficult to get into your runner's lunge, but and you know that having 2 blocks will actually get you there, but you won't pick up the blocks because you're embarrassed and that's like a sign of weakness. And it was like one of my mentors elsewhere was like, oh no, do all the things. And she really encouraged me to like start using props just because also she knew I was a teacher mm-hmm. in my vinyasa classes, like as the student. And what a game changer. And that whole studio really just totally is like, yeah, grab the props. Like, yeah. Grab the props in the power vinyasa, grab the props in the heated power hatha. Like, they are so, like, get the props, do the things. You don't have to use them, or you can.
Right. Because what, I mean, if you think about it, what are the props? Like, I'm right now, I'm just visualizing blocks. But all that it does is create more space for you to move freely, right? It doesn't mean that you're not as bendy. It doesn't mean that you can't do X, Y, and Z. It just allows you more space and freedom to move your body. So, yeah, I see why there's a demonization of them, but I don't understand it and don't subscribe to that same belief.
Yeah, me either. Even in my yin classes, I'm always like, tell people like, hey, challenge yourself to grab some props in your vinyasa, even if it's a hot, quick, fast pace flow, like grab them and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because you might just find like, hey, I like that better. Like, I feel so much better, especially if you're doing like poses where you're rotating open. Like, that's not everyone. Like, I can rotate open really well.
I can't say a non-bendy spine, but my spinal rotations I'm not bendy that way. I'm bendy front and back, side to side, but as far as rotations go, it's not made for my spine.
Yeah.
So.
And see, mine like loves it.
Yeah.
But you add that block and you get that rotation even further. Like, it's just even more of that delicious feeling if you're holding it or moving fast. I think in my YTT, there was like, use props like, you know, for like a week in different classes. And I started using like the blocks or whatever, but it was still like, oh, once I met that challenge, I still wasn't using it until it was like encouraged of this other student to like start using them. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And just like the mobility that you're building, even for the next time, if maybe you don't grab the props and the things, it changes, it shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it just creates that like open spaciousness for the body to move.
I feel like advanced yogis, it's not about hitting the pose, but understanding the awareness it takes for you to be in your practice, just with all of it encompassing holistically.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're going to be off in some areas.
And I feel like every yoga instructor that I know that has taken someone else's classes aren't hitting the most advanced modifications of a posture. They usually keep it extra simple and move through it and find their sweet spot in each posture. So I don't know that I've ever seen a yoga instructor that just like hits all of the most advanced poses.
As you say that, my brain's like scanning. And I was like, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like, I don't think I've seen anyone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's interesting. Now I'm going to be like paying attention to that every time I take a class, like with them next to me. Which seems intimidating, but again, if you're at the right space, it's not intimidating to have them next to you. They're in their own practice.
Exactly.
They're not teaching you, and so they don't care about your user refinement or your practice. Like, they're there for their own self-care.
Yeah, everyone's in their own space. Like, that's why I feel like the yoga mat, it's just this vortex of healing. Right?
Yeah.
So much stuff happens on that yoga mat and doesn't involve anyone else but me. It's like, that is my time, my space. I love my yoga mat.
Me too. I have multiple ones that my dogs love to ruin.
Mm.
But yeah. Well, that's all things yoga.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming and chatting with
me. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's fun. Maybe we'll do a part two if we think of more things. But if you want to do it, just go do it. Just one foot in front of the other until you're in the studio. If it doesn't work, try a different studio, a different teacher.
Yeah. You can do it. You can do it. Your body can do it. Your mind can do it. Everything, it's...
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah. Yoga is for everybody. Thanks for tuning in. For more info, follow us on Instagram at kindmind.wellness or connect with us on the web at kindmindwellness.org. Be kind to your mind and make your mark.